Alrighty, welcome back, Iowa. You're listening to Around the House. My name is Tim Hetty, and Rod, missed you last week. How you been?
Good, Tim. I had a nice visit on the East Coast. Probably one of the things, because Hurricane Sandy had hit about 4 or 5 days before I went out to Pennsylvania. One of the things I was noticing was just the amount of power companies that have rallied around that part of the country. I mean, you know, in the summertime when you're driving down the interstate and you see one of these large National Guard or Army convoys, right, just truck after truck after truck, and you know they're going to some three-week training or something like that. That's how it was with power companies. I mean,
so they just called in everybody from throughout the entire country.
I mean, I know we here in Iowa, Mid-America, sent out a bunch of people, but I saw trucks from Michigan, from Minnesota, from Oklahoma, all still converging on the East Coast because it's so devastated. When I got there into Allentown, that's where I fly into, couldn't find a hotel. Had to drive 45 miles to find the first hotel I could get into because of so many people out of power. They're living in the hotels or all these power companies that, you know, have to put these guys up. So, the first night I had to drive 45 miles, and then the next night I drove 90 miles to find a hotel room.
Wow. So, what about fuel?
It was all of the fuel stations there that were open had lines. It wasn't huge lines, not like what you were seeing out in New York where, you know, people are, you know, it's around the block and another 2 miles down the road. But it was, you know, definitely people driving, you know, around in the parking lot waiting for somebody to get out of the way. And that's how it was. Now, I got into rural Pennsylvania and it wasn't too bad, but the Allentown, Philadelphia area, yeah, it was devastating, you know, and we see the pictures, and I think probably the thing that bothers me the most about these kind of things is, you know, we deal with tornadoes that, you know, when they come upon us, we know that the storms are coming, but really can't do anything about it. It's not like, you know, a tornado is going to come, so the first thing we do is evacuate our house and go somewhere else because we really nowhere to go. You know, these people out there, you know, those that chose to stay, and because, I mean, the death toll is well over 100 now.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like being on a train track, watching the train come. It's like, get off the track. Get out of your home. You know, there was
that's true, because they had
plenty of warning.
Week of notice.
Yes, days of notice. Know. And, you know, I know Governor Chris Christie out in New Jersey was extremely upset at some of the local city authorities, mayors and stuff that said, you know, we're not going to make it mandatory. You know, if you choose to stay, you know, hunker down, do all this. But you have to understand, now you're putting yourself at risk of getting injured because of the damage. And now all of the emergency personnel have to try to get to you.
Right.
When you didn't need to be
there. So you're putting others at risk, not just yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. So extremely devastated. Didn't make it over to the New Jersey area. Didn't want to. Probably couldn't have made it there anyhow. But I spoke with a lot of people about the power outages and how long it was going to be. And, you know, there's so much tree work that got uprooted, and they're hanging – you know, they're hanging power lines, and the trees hadn't been moved yet. So, I know it's just going to be months and months of rebuilding. So, it was quite devastating.
You know, I was watching the news, and I heard something interesting that, you know, if you wanted to end the fuel crisis there, at least the gasoline crisis, make gas $6 a gallon.
Well, you know, there was a guy who did that out there.
Well, you know, the reason his reasoning made sense. I mean, I'm certainly, you know me, I am not for high fuel prices.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, if you want to start having tankers come in full of fuel, make it worth their while. And I understand also that, you know, a lot of it is that they have the fuel, they just don't have the power to get it out of the ground.
That was one of the things that was talked about out there on the East Coast was that, you know, and not widely spoken about in the media, that, you know, how Katrina was George Bush's fault. Apparently he has the ability to muster up weather that was going to wipe out New Orleans. This, you know, and they talked about the response from the federal government. Mm-hmm. And the issue was they had plenty of time to get in place generators for the fueling stations to be able to run them, and that didn't happen. So here's all these people extremely angry, but you didn't hear anything about the federal government's response to, you know, preparing for the areas that, you know, could have used the power. And these are those portable generators. They're all coming in after the fact. Now, again, you know, everybody has an opinion on it. It's just funny, though. I figured that, you know, Hurricane Sandy must be George Bush's fault, too. So.
Going down the political road.
Well, you know, we do have to talk about it. Yes, it is Saturday. And, folks, if you didn't know, on Tuesday, the United States reelected Barack Obama. Uh-huh. Or like that little girl says on YouTube, Bronco Obama.
I thought okay. That was cute. Yeah, I didn't see that.
But, yeah, so we've got, you know, things are... I don't know. Are things happening, Tim, because of this?
Well,
the one thing I will say, I was tired of the political ads, so I'm glad that's over.
Yeah, I'm glad that's over. I don't know that we got a lot of certainty. I know that the stock market certainly didn't like it. You know, that was not a
And gas prices.
Thing.
Guess what? Gas prices jumped up 12 cents on election day. And what's that saying? You know?
But you know what? Everything's going to jump up. It has to. I think that... I personally don't understand the whole thing, and we had Jesse on here the last 2 weeks to talk about what actually this healthcare thing means to us. And you know, I can assure you one thing: as far as Midwest basement systems, we're going to keep on keeping on. We're in fine shape, and everything is going to be okay. But we kind of hinge on the 60 employee.
Yeah,
thing.
No,
so if we can't
absolutely.
Figure out a way to make it work.
We're not going to lock up the doors, but you know, and you know, we talk about Midwest Basement Systems because that's, you know, who we are. That's the company that you own. But how many other companies are right at that same level?
I know guys that will go out of business.
Yeah.
That, you know, throughout the country, guys that are more in the service industry. Well, I mean, let's face it. Let's say you're used to paying a certain amount of money for your furnace to be checked every year, which I know you do that, and as well I do too. What if it was double?
Absolutely.
You know, that's what we're going down. There's pills in this healthcare thing that are just tough to swallow. You know, and if you don't think that now the government is going to be dictating your healthcare. I think you need to start reading that bill.
Absolutely.
That's what's happening. I
was listening to a radio show where there was a lady who had called in. Her husband is a surgeon. He must have some kind of specialty, heart surgeon or something. You know, pulling down about $1 million a year. You know, that is that's fantastic money. But because of this health care plan, he already knows that he will probably lose two-thirds of his income. Two-thirds based on the Medicare payments and stuff. That go on. Now, you know, there are people out there that say, you know, well, earning $1 million a year is ridiculous. You know, I only earn $35,000 or $40,000. Well, that's what's great about America. Everybody has the opportunity. Should you choose not to follow that path and get a kind of profession or specialty that can bring you that kind of income, have that kind of success, that's a path that you took.
And it's all about risk, too, because he actually risked 10 years of his life.
Right.
You know, it takes about 10 years for a guy to become a physician.
Right.
And these are very expensive years. This guy probably also left college with $500,000 worth of debt, too.
Yeah. And you know what? If he's that good, when I've got some health problem, I'm not driving down to the guy who got, you know, passed his med boards with 71. I want the guy who probably can, you know, is getting paid $1 million a year because there's a reason that he's getting it. He's that good.
Right.
Like I said, the opportunity, America was great because of the opportunities. People that complain about it, that complained over the, and yeah, I'm going to get political for a second. People that complained about, you know, someone being so successful and being a millionaire and paying a different tax rate when it's completely, you know, apples and oranges and they don't understand it. America's great because of the opportunities. You choose to be where you're at because that's what you choose.
Right.
Life didn't deal you. I mean, you know, if you want to, you need to stand in front of a mirror and go, I am where I am at because of all the decisions that I made in my life. You know, you weren't born with this set or this preset that all you're going to ever make is 30, 40, 50 grand a year. You choose not to go outside your comfort zone. You choose not to have a couple of jobs. I mean, I admire the single parents, the single mothers that go out and have two or three jobs because they're going to make things better for their kids as they're growing up versus the one that's going to go, I'd rather sit at home and live on unemployment or live on government subsidies because I can make just as much money doing nothing
yeah.
as I can, you know, having all these jobs. Well, you know, when you take pride and self-worth away from an individual, then you get what we're getting. And that's, you know, that's this belief that entitlements are a way of life.
And well, and as we were discussing earlier today, you know, we are like one percentage of our population away from being classified as a socialistic society.
Right.
No society has ever come back from that.
Oh, absolutely.
Once we get to that point, and I'm sure it'll happen, once we get to that point, the game's over.
Right. The economy is unsustainable in any manner which, you know, and agree, doesn't matter who got in, okay? The path we're going down right now is unsustainable.
Yep.
Doesn't matter who's in the office. That was the decision that was made on Tuesday, what path we're going to take. Because yep. either we're going to continue going down this road and it's going to be unsustainable, we're going to have this economic wipeout, or can we look at a different path to maybe avert it and start a very slow process to
get
back.
We got to get to a break real quick. We'll be right back with more Around the House, and we're actually going to talk about our house.
So, all right.
We'll be right back. All righty, welcome back, Iowa. You're listening to Around the House, and at the break we actually decided to get off our soapbox and talk about our home, which is what we started this show to do.
That's right.
So you had brought up an interesting topic today when we were trying to figure out what we were going to talk about today.
Right.
And I knew that I wanted to get back on talking about the home, the building science, and everything else. So my idea was that let's talk about, you know, now we're closing up our homes and we have moisture issues and stuff to deal with. And you
right.
brought up the fact that you know, Midwest Basement Systems actually has a service for homeowners that, you know, are going down to Florida or going to Arizona or something and locking up their house, leaving it here and
the
taking
snowbirds.
The risk.
Yeah, the snowbirds.
The snowbirds, yeah. Good way to put it. So we actually have a service at Midwest Basement Systems in our service department that we can come in and sort of winterize your home, get it ready for you to leave for a while. And then you don't have to worry about it while you're down there. And I know that this is something you and my brother have been putting a lot of work into.
Right.
And so I'll kind of let you take the reins here.
Well, when we first started looking at the number of people, and it really came from kind of the housing crunch back in 2008,
right.
2009.
Which has not gone away.
No, that's exactly you know? Right. There are still a lot of homes that are sitting out there that have not people are not living in them. So,
right.
and a home that's not being lived in actually will degrade quicker than a home that's being lived in.
Right. Nobody's there taking care of it.
Right.
You know, homes want to be lived in. They want
right.
to be.
And with the Iowa
occupied.
Weather, we know that we've got extreme heats, extreme cold,
yep.
and when no one's living in a home, the extreme cold is what we get ourselves concerned about, because obviously somebody is, you know, whether it be a mortgage company or, you know, somebody who's just not living in their home. Whatever the case may be, we know that they're trying to keep the minimum cost down to a minimum, so they shut the furnace off, and you know, we have plumbing systems in our home that are fueled with water, and if we the temperature drops below, we have this, you know, these disasters happen when you have the pipes freeze. So we can flood basements, we can flood homes. I mean, you know, from clear upstairs, it doesn't really matter. And how devastating is that? I mean, we talked about Tom's situation earlier mm-hmm. this year when he had a plumbing leak from the second story going through his main floor and then down into his basement. But so people were, you know, companies were getting out there and trying to figure out what could we do. And winterization of a home means that you're going to, and a lot deals with the plumbing. I mean, that's
right.
really what we're talking about, because electrical, those kind of things, you can shut breakers off. But the plumbing issues in your home are really what you want to be concerned about. So if you have a water heater, if you have you know, do you have your system charged with water? Should we be taking the water meter off? These kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
With homes that were being foreclosed on, yes, a lot of the winterizations were happening because real estate agents were trying to sell these homes, finding out that there was, you know, the problems had arisen because no one
right.
had actually done the winterization.
And where are we at with that in this area? Because I know that for a long time there was just an enormous number of houses on the market because of all the foreclosures and
right.
stuff. And then they started lowering the interest rates, lowering the – matter of fact, I'm – refinancing my house as we speak for 2 3/8. You know, now I've got decent credit and everything, but
giving it away.
What's that?
They're giving it away.
They are giving it away.
Yeah,
but it's not solving the problem because it's still tough to get money if you really need the money.
Yeah, I think probably what we're seeing now is over the past year is the federal government's reorganization program that they set up for people who are in foreclosure to be able to get their financial house in order and not have to actually leave their home and get restructuring of their debt and restructuring of their mortgage is actually taking place. I think there's a little bit more of a teeth in it. Now, here in the Midwest, yes, we suffered through people, you know, being foreclosed on, but not like it was on the East Coast or the Left Coast.
Yeah, not like over in California.
Right. I mean, we're talking huge neighborhoods of people that just up and left. I mean, they couldn't, you know, because they're overinflated values. And we suffered through some of that here, but not. I think we're a much more conservative area of the country, so we got hit by it, but not like.
Well, you would think,
other areas.
But Obama took Iowa. Am I correct in saying that? I guess I didn't really look at maps.
Yes, he did. So. Yes, he did. So apparently a lot of those people that, you know, got benefit from that government subsidy program, again, voted for him. So back to the winterization.
Okay.
Now, so what we found was, you know, a lot of people were now trying to, you know, and it's the baby boomers. You know, you have the people that are the baby boomers that are entering into retirement and not wanting to stay through the wintertime here in Iowa. They want to go down and enjoy some of the warm weather, and financially they put themselves in a place where they can either are renting or driving a motor home or a camper down, or they've got a secondary home down in the Sunshine Belt. So these homes are being left empty. If they didn't have anyone that was actually living in them, you know, then, you know, their home was now being affected. So we came up with winterization program, which you know, we have master plumbers on staff here at Midwest Basement Systems, but we perform the following checks and actually do a monthly inspection at your home. So while you're gone, if you're going to be gone for 3 or 4 or 5 months, you know, you don't have to worry. And it's okay if you said, you know, as long as you perform the winterization and I've got somebody who's going to be checking on my home. The idea is you don't have to have us do the monthly check, but there's winterization and then there's de-winterization.
Well, and it, you know, the service is there, okay? It's good to have somebody coming into your home,
right,
whether it's a relative or...
Or a service tech.
Or whatever.
Right.
And a month is a long time. I mean, let's face it, Rod, if I come to your house and check on it on day one and then day two something happens,
right,
I don't really get there until day 30. But somebody is there. You're not waiting 3 months for something. You know what? Let's say somebody broke in, stole all your stuff. You're going to wait until you get back from Arizona to even find that out?
Exactly.
You know, you need somebody acting in your best interest.
Yeah. So what we do is we'll, you know, we drain and inspect the water heater. This is probably one of the services that most people never do.
You know, and we talked about water heaters sometime back, probably years ago. We should talk about that again.
Yeah.
You know, even if you're home, you have maintenance on your water heater. People think water heaters last for, I mean, how many, you've been in a lot of basements. People have them for 20 years.
Yeah.
And by that time, there's so much sediment and everything in the bottom. I mean, they can't possibly heat
water
efficiently anymore.
Yeah, hard water and not flushing your water heater are two of the hardest things that you can do to diminish the lifespan of it. So, again, a water heater, you don't want to, and most people do, most people wait until there's a leak. You know, before they replace it, or there's some kind of a change in their home where, you know, I had a small little 40 gallon and now I've got a jacuzzi tub and, you know, three daughters that take, you know, hour showers every day. And so I need to get something a little bit better. But typically most people wait till the water heater goes out or starts leaking before they replace it. Well, if you want to extend the life of that, then, you know, there's a couple of simple things that you can do.
You drain the thing out and then you flush it.
Right. And then it has to be flushed.
Typically, there are instructions right with your water heater that tell you how to do that. I don't want to spend a lot of time talking on that, but
it's
a good idea.
Yeah, we shut the water off, and you know, depending on where you live, I mean, do you have are you on rural water? Are you on city water? Do you have a well? You know, we want to make sure that water is shut off. draining the sinks, toilets, and showers. All of this, you want to get the water blown out of the lines. That's, you know, it's very important. We inspect all the traps. Now, the traps do one incredible thing, and that keeps the sewer gas from coming back up into your home. So we're not going to be draining your traps. That's part of the sanitary line. We want to make sure that there's moisture in that. And when we inspect it, means that because no one's been living there, a lot of things haven't been going through the sanitary line. You know, if the water starts to evaporate out of the traps, we're going to put water in them. Mm-hmm. You know, because you don't want to have that that smell coming out throughout your whole house.
And well, but we're not just going to put water back in there. We're going to use antifreeze and stuff.
So the certain areas, and you know, we have to look at the construction of a home, and there's been people that live in their homes year round, and they still have water lines that freeze because some plumber or, you know, brother-in-law of the, you know, the cousin who said, "Oh yeah, I know how to do some plumbing," you know, puts the outside lines or puts the plumbing lines in the outside walls instead of using the internal cavity. So unhooking the water meter. We want to make sure that, you know, the neighbor, while he's gone, isn't overfilling up, you know, from your outside spigot, his water beds and things like that. So, you know, the water meter is going to be unhooked.
And if anybody has never worked with a water meter before, it's not like you just go up with a couple pair of pliers.
Absolutely. Know.
We have a master plumber that does this, and there's a reason. It's very easy to screw up your plumbing if it's done wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm not going to elaborate on that. You know, if you're qualified to do it, by all means, you should do it. But if you're not, don't take the risk. It's not that big of a deal.
Absolutely. So we check sump pump operation, and the reason for it is because we know that especially if you're going to be gone over the wintertime, before you come back, most of the snowbirds come back probably late March, April, and even into May. We've started to get our snow melt. We've started to start getting rainfall. You know, the sump systems in our homes are now going to be operational. We want to make sure that those seals are good. If the sump needs to be replaced, we're going to make recommendations to do that. If you don't have a battery backup, we're going to make recommendations to do that.
We got to get to a break real quick. We'll be right back with more Around the House, and we'll continue our list. Alrighty, welcome back, Iowa. You're listening to Around the House, and we're talking about winterizing the home, and especially as it relates to people that are snowbirds, as Rod says, and they're going to go down to Florida or Arizona or Kentucky or wherever people go in the wintertime.
Somewhere warmer than Iowa.
Somewhere warmer than Iowa.
Yeah.
See, I take the other route. I go somewhere colder, so that's why.
Actually, you know what? Side note, I was talking to a customer, and they moved to Iowa during the winter, and they spend their summers in Canada.
Really?
I thought that was unusual because most people would think Iowa isn't the area where you would come to winter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but yeah, these people have a lake home up in Canada, and they spend about 5 months a year up there on a lake.
And they're U.S. citizens?
They're U.S. citizens, but they spend that time, and then they come back and spend 7 months in Iowa, you know, through the holidays and all that, which I thought was kind of unusual. I mean, obviously you have a lake home up in Wisconsin, but you enjoy some of the winter sports, you know,
snowmobiling and whatnot. Yeah.
So you go up there to do that, but, you know, you enjoy your summer home. But it's just kind of unusual that someone would say, I'm coming to winter in Iowa, you know, versus.
But I never leave for more than a week at a time.
Yeah, that's true. So, but so,
got to know what's going on back here in good old Iowa.
True.
So, we're down to unhooking the water meter and the sump pump operation. And this
talk
is one
15
thing
minutes on this one.
Yeah, we could talk for a couple hours probably on this one. You know what? This is a huge, huge issue, okay? If you've got one of these black flexible hoses on the outside of the building, okay? These suckers freeze up, and then when the pump kicks on, it can't get rid of the water, flood your basement.
Right.
Okay? So when we go through and we make all of our inspections, there's just, I think there's like, what, 100 things on our list that we actually check, you know, every single little part of this thing. And a lot of it deals with the sump pump.
That's correct.
The sump pump, the discharge, all the stuff that makes this thing work. And the last thing you want is to come home to a basement full of water. And, I mean, Rod, you've got great stories about that where, you know, the basement is completely full of water because of a freezing issue or whatever. And if you don't think your sump pump runs in the summertime or in the wintertime, you're mistaken.
You're absolutely mistaken, because we see it all the time. You know, people think the ground freezes. Well, it does freeze down to a certain point.
Right.
But with the very mild winters that we've seen over the last couple of years, you know, or even a few years ago when we had some substantial amount of snow, it only goes down to about 40 inches. And that's during a very, very cold year.
Right, very cold year.
You know, basements are sitting down 7 feet. You know, that's well past that 40-inch mark. The soil is moist. We get those fluctuation temperatures. You get a little bit of snow melt. That water's got to go somewhere. Mm-hmm.
And especially this year, because, you know, as dry as it's been, a lot of times you look down between the house and the ground and there's a gap.
Right.
And as that snow piles up next to the house and starts to melt, it's going right down through that gap. Right to your waterproofing system.
That's right.
And, you know, we're going to see a lot of it. There's a lot of underground water movement. Okay, not just surface runoff, but underground water movement.
Well, I mean, probably the most, you know, interesting thing about that was is here we were this year in an 80-year drought, and how much waterproofing were we installing every single week because basements were still getting wet.
Several homes. I mean, multi-crews out there. Waterproofing basements.
Absolutely. I mean, that's where, you know, most people are like, really? I'm getting, and we go down, we'd look at, you know, homes for sale because, you know, it's like, gosh, the basement's wet. They got to get this thing fixed. Customers calling us all the time saying, I don't get it, but my basement's wet. I mean, you know, we got a drought outside and my grass isn't growing, and yet I've got water running across my floor. What's going on? Well, you know, you're past an area that is, you know, dry because of the environmental conditions outside,
right.
And you've got a moist area. I mean, you know, there's water in the soil.
Anything can happen. Let me give you an example, Rod, and I think I've told you about this before, but years ago we waterproofed a house down in Norwalk, and a nice enough couple, you know, and we went down, we waterproofed it, everything was fine. And I don't think anybody ever really did any service down there, but years after that, I was called by a very angry realtor, and the realtor basically informed me that my waterproofing system had failed. Now this basement is flooded, and not only was I responsible, but I was on the hook for everything else, you know, as far as fixing all the appliances and everything.
Sure. Well,
no, not really, but I'll tell you what, I'll come down and I'll take a look at it. So I go down there, and there's 3 feet of water, you know, in this basement.
Right.
Okay. I mean, it's and this is the middle of the summer, but that doesn't matter. Water in a basement is cold.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So I put my hip waders on. You know, I'm going over there.
Yes,
I'm figuring
it is.
Out what's going on with this sump pump and stuff. Find out that the people that no longer live there lost the home through whatever set of circumstances. You never know what's going on in people's lives, and it's none of my business, but
sure. They
had lost the home. So not only did they lose the home, but apparently there was some bad feelings on the way out.
So a little bit of anger, huh?
A little bit of anger. So they unplugged the sump pump. They undid all the pipe work and everything from the sump pump. And I don't know if they turned on the water and left or if they just left. Well, okay, so here's this empty house. The bank owns it. Whatever.
Yeah.
They've got this going on, and this had sat this way for months. They had a heck of a mold problem. So I went down there, I reattached the sump pump, plugged it back in, and told them, you know, it's probably going to take a day or two to pump this basement out.
Right.
And then we can, you know, but this is what happened. This is why you're having the problem.
Sure.
Then give me a call. We'll come back, and we'll talk about the mold issues.
Yeah.
You know, and, I mean, God love them. I mean, the realtor felt about an inch tall at that point because, you know, they really wanted to place the blame on us.
Sure.
But
sure. It
really wasn't ours to take.
Yeah.
It was somebody else's. But here was a prime example that if somebody was checking on this place.
That's correct.
You know, every so often, we would have discovered this.
Right.
We would have done something about it immediately.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. And you know what? If you're, and this is what the reason we want to do so much with the plumbing is because even if you're living in your home.
Oh, they had stuffed a sock down in the floor drain.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Yuck.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah. But even if you're living in your home, people have plumbing leaks.
Right.
You know, every day.
Things happen, man.
Yeah. That's life happens. It's not if it's going to happen to you, it's when it's going to happen
right.
to you. And, you know, the minute you think that you're invincible and this isn't the kind of issue that's going to happen, guess what? A drain's going to get clogged. You know, there's going to be a joint that leaks.
Right. And so, if you have a plumbing leak, the city of Des Moines would deliver somewhere around 600 gallons an hour to your house.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? And, you know, over a 30-day period, that's a lot.
That's a lot of water.
You know, if the sump pump's operational, which, you know, our sump pumps have floor drains in them. So, I mean, even in the event that something like that would happen, you know, now obviously during the winterization process, we're taking that risk away by shutting the water off, making sure everything's drained. But if you're not living there and you thought maybe,
you could have that freak storm where the floor drains back up. Ever hear about that happening?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It happens all the time.
Yeah. So, there are many things we do, but winterizing, you know, does lower the risk of some of these issues happening to you. So,
right.
But, you know, along with that, the sump pump, we look at, you know, battery backups. We look at the discharges like Tim spoke about. We also want to look outside and take a look at all the faucets and hoses that are out there.
Right. And, again, not to put you on the spot, but you got a
yeah.
great story about
your... Oh, yeah,
your,
I was a victim of that.
Your faucet freezing.
Yeah, my faucet freezing because I had kept the connection of my hose to my outside spigot. And sure enough, there was water in it. It froze and split the line. All of a sudden, one morning... I walked downstairs and I got water on, and what it was enough of the line had melted because the mm-hmm. temperature was starting to rise that now it started delivering water into my basement. So I was able to get it shut off quickly, clean up the mess. But it was my fault.
Things happen. Life happens. And in your particular situation, you had to end up replacing a bunch of electrical panel
work. Yes, I did.
I mean, it wasn't just a matter of taking a mop down there and cleaning up a little bit of a mess.
That's correct.
So,
that's absolutely correct.
You know, and these are things, again, that should be checked for. The wonderful thing about the program that we have, and we've done this before, hey, we have that huge storm, mm-hmm. you know, because some people actually leave in the summertime,
right.
you know.
Yeah.
We know that, hey, maybe it's time to go over and check the Fox household.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Let's just make sure everything's fine. And, you know, most time it is, and everything's good. But then we can send a report to that homeowner and say, hey, look, we checked your house because we had this huge storm last night. Everything's fine. Don't worry about it.
That's the benefit because we talk about it, and what we do is as we're doing the inspections, a couple of photographs will be sent through an email to let you know, hey, this is the condition we found your house in.
Mm-hmm.
It's the kind of thing that to be able to say, you know, you can trust the individuals who are protecting your home. I mean, that's what we want to be you to understand it. And, there's some benefits to everything that we do because of the risks that you take leaving your home unattended without winterizing it.
Right.
So
then let's talk about water softeners. We got about 45 seconds left. But, you know, even the water softener, the last thing we want is tanks full of water sitting around.
Correct.
You know, so these tanks have to be emptied.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you wouldn't go in your home and turn the furnace completely off, but you never know what's going to happen. Again, what if the thing conks out? You know, if you're home, hey, you know it right away because the
sure.
temperature of your air starts to change,
yep.
and it's time to get something done. If you're not home, things start to freeze.
That's right.
You know, even if we have one client, I think, that has a security system,
mm-hmm.
and that security system tells them a lot of things. If anything goes off, they call us. We go over. We check things out.
That's correct.
Everybody's happy. Yeah. We got to get to another break. We'll be right back with more Around the House. All righty, welcome back, Iowa. You're listening to Around the House, and we're talking about winterizing our homes. And I can't stress this enough. Most of the clients that we take care of for this type of work, a very nice home. I mean, they, you know, upscale homes. And you know, a lot of times when somebody retains our services, it's because last year they had an issue, and last year they ended up losing their whatever.
Right.
And we don't want that to happen.
Right.
So this winterizing is just huge for your home if you're planning to leave town. Even if you have, I mean, there's a couple different things that we can do. We go in, we winterize the home. Now, Rod, you've got your stepchildren or whatever looking in on your house.
Right.
Or your children, whatever. So you don't need our monthly service. You don't need us to look in on your house, and that's fantastic. But most people that leave for the season don't have that. Or maybe you don't want your children in your house while you're gone. whatever reason.
You know, when I've talked to some people that have signed up for this service, what they're saying is, if I have the neighbor or a family member come over and there is a problem, you know, obviously I still have to do this stuff to prepare my home, but if there's a problem, they still have to contact somebody to hire them, where the people that work are having come over and actually do that can fix any issues that would arise at that moment. So, you know, the cost, it's so much cheaper to do it in a proactive approach rather than Absolutely. A reactive approach.
Yep.
So that's why, you know, when you look at the cost, and we're going to talk here in just a little bit about how to find out more and what the special pricing we've got going on. But obviously give us a call at 515-289-1606 and ask about our winterization special. But yeah, I mean, you'll be given more information. Again, we talk about it here, but I know that every person that calls in has specific questions that they want answered, and we can do that at that time.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of the things that we check, you mentioned outside things, like your downspouts and stuff right. like that. And, you know, we have an entire list of things, and it's right on our website, as far as things you should do to winterize your house.
Correct. Things that you as a homeowner can do.
Right. And I will say that, you know, not all these things are part of this service, unless you want them to be. I mean, obviously, we're in the
sure.
service industry, so
sure.
we're gonna do whatever you want us to do.
Right.
But, you know, how are your gutters? You got limbs sticking out of your gutters? Are they full of leaves? Do you have, you know, vegetation growing out of the gutters?
Right.
We may not be willing to get on a ladder and check them, but maybe we can refer you to somebody, or maybe we can tell you, hey, this needs to be done.
Well, we check downspouts for winter freeze, and the big issue there is we know that, you know, if we're going to make a recommendation to you to extend your downspouts, you know, while you're gone, because when the snow does melt and the gutters mm-hmm. start collecting that moisture, hey, maybe is it something our service department can take care of? Probably.
Sure.
You know, it's not an issue, but every home is unique. I mean, you know, am I going to lay a 10-inch tile or a 10-foot tile out on your property if you live in Glen Oaks? Probably not. There's probably some things that have to happen to make sure it meets within all the codes, you know.
Want it to look good.
And to look good, you know. But so that's what we say. You know, every home is different. Every home is going to be treated, you know, with the same care and concern to make sure that we follow all of the performance checks. But there may be something unique to your home that we have to do, and we'd be more than happy to take a look at it.
Sure, sure. I mean, you want to know about an issue anyways. I mean, you know, I talked about gutters. What if you had a situation that you didn't realize that could lead to something like ice damming?
Right.
We talk about that, where it's going to screw up your shingles.
That's
next thing
correct.
You know, you're looking at a roof. These are things we're going to check, and we're going to make recommendations to you. Like I say, not all things we do, but, you know.
Yeah, if there's something, though, and it's like when we come out and do an inspection at home, if there's something that we recognize, we're not going to keep quiet about it. We want you as a homeowner to understand, hey, may not be a part of our profession, but what we see here, our inspectors are very well-rounded, very well-trained individuals that can say, hey, this is an issue you probably need to address.
Yep. So just give us a call at Midwest Basement Systems and, you know, let us in there. Now, all that being said, okay, we are a growing and true North company.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We are still looking for people. I think you and I had talked about this a few weeks ago.
Correct.
But we still need salespeople and we still need production people. You know, as far as I'm concerned, and I think by now, hopefully, everybody knows my opinion of the economic climate and everything that we have to go through. So all that being said, that doesn't matter. You know, we're not rolling up the carpets and locking the doors because of this.
Right.
It is going to be tougher to do business.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to cost more to do business.
Right.
There's a trickle-down effect. Anybody that doesn't think that the homeowner is the one that actually gets to flip the bill for this is, you know, insane.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But the fact of the matter is we still need these people. We need good quality people.
That's right.
Midwest Basement Systems treats its people very well. We have these benefits already in place. It doesn't make any difference. You know, to us, as far as that goes, it just depends on how much regulation and hoops and stuff we got to go through.
Right.
So if you know somebody that you think may be a good salesperson for Midwest Basement Systems or a good installer.
Sure.
I
can go to the MidwestBasementSystems.com, and in the About Us section, There's information on job opportunities.
Really? Is there a place to fill out an application there? Well, no. Are we to that point?
No, no. But okay. What it does say is how you can get a contact with us, and then we'll let you know how. But okay. Yeah, if you
the best thing to do, and we've talked about this 100 times on this show when we talk about employment. Get a resume, okay? Don't go in and ask for an application. Type out a resume. It's not hard to do. There's 100 different software programs out there. I bet there's free stuff online you can use to help you make a resume. But instead of going in, filling out an application at every stop, go in. For one thing, ask for the person in charge of hiring,
right?
Which, you know, you may not get, but at least you have a resume to hand them.
I tell you what, I'll make sure that the application widget is what we call it, is active for people to send us information on the job opportunities. Okay. By the time people listen to this, I'll make sure that it's actually operational. So,
all right. I still say in person's the way to go, but
well, yeah, but I mean, at least you can get the information to us, and then we can get a way to get a hold of you.
Right,
calling the office and asking about job opportunity information is not the way to go.
Well, for one thing, we just get the idea that if that's the way you're going to pursue getting a job, that
excellence.
You're not truly, committed to getting a job.
Yeah. Sitting on your couch with the TV muted, you know, trying to get a job is probably not going to spur any interest in the company to hire a person.
Right.
So, I mean, not just us. I'm talking about any company.
Well, we got it. You know, the way I look at this kind of stuff, Rod, it's like, this is the best I'm ever going to see from this guy.
Right.
Right here, today. This is the best I'm ever going to see from this guy because he's trying to get a job here.
That's correct.
You know, when you do come in, go ahead and don't wear those huge garbage bag pants, you know, with the chains and whatnot coming off of them and everything. You know, if that's your thing at home, that's perfectly fine. But you're certainly not going to represent Midwest Basement Systems dressing like that.
Well, as they always say, you only have one chance to make a first impression.
Right.
There's no do-overs. There's no, oh, hang on, let's hit the reset button and try it again. You know, most employers will make a hiring decision about you within 45 seconds of meeting you.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Whether it's positive or negative. So, in other words, if all you have is 45 seconds to make sure you're on the positive side, that doesn't mean you're automatically going to get hired. But the 50-50 shot, you know, it's like, all right, in 45 seconds, they're going to determine whether or not I'm going to continue through this process. Yeah, you look like a good candidate. Let's make sure you make that positive impression.
Right. And, you know, and that's fair, too, as far as I'm concerned. It's fair to make a judgment about somebody in the first minute that you've met them, because the rest of the world is going to do it.
In the service-related industry?
Right.
What do you think a homeowner's doing?
Right. And anybody that doesn't think that this is true, try to come up with an example here. The guy's selling you a car. Okay, mm-hmm. You go to a car dealership, and you walk up, you shake the guy's hand, or he shakes your hand. Hopefully he does. And he reeks like an ashtray because he's been standing outside the door smoking cigarettes for the last hour and a half waiting for you to come up.
Right.
You know, then the first thing he starts talking about is how much of a payment that you can handle. You know, already I'm heading back to my car.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I don't smoke. I don't want to put up with this guy's smoky ashtray smell. If you get in a car, let's say he shows you a car and you get in it. I know this because this happened to me the other day. Mm-hmm. I was looking at a car and I got in it and it smelled like somebody had spent the last 2 hours smoking in this thing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, even if you smoke and we're going to go somewhere, I can respect that. Whatever. You smoke, you don't care. I'm fine. Whatever. But you're not smoking in my vehicle. You're not smoking in my house. We're not going to leave things this way. And quite honestly, your smoky clothes offend me too.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
So you make these determinations about people. Okay, that is society. That is the society that Midwest Basement Systems services.
Right.
So if they're going to make these determinations, it's also fair for me to make these determinations.
Well.
And over the years, you know, me and my brother have been at this for over 20 years. We've had hundreds of employees.
Yeah.
We know what works and what doesn't work, and we're going to put the odds in our favor.
Absolutely.
So we got about 10 seconds left. If you need to get a hold of us, go to MidwestBasementSystems.com, or you can just call us 1-800-556-5697.
Locally at 515-289-1606.
Or come on in, 5153 Northeast 17th Street, and we'll talk to you next week.